Start our meeting. So the DRB, March 31st, we're resuming with item number 7, PR 2020-4757, site plan SI 2021-307 for McRitchie at Volcano Road between Central and Bristol Street. And please identify yourself if you're with Kim Lee Horn, the agent.
Hi, that's Stephen Litsis here.
Good morning, Mr. Litsis. I don't know how to get all those consonants in the right place.
You nailed it, so you did a great job.
Thank you. Too much talking in one morning. Go ahead and give us your affiliation, your name, affiliation, address, and I'll swear you in.
Yes, ma'am. And I will also say that we have other people from on the line as well, but I'll go first. Stephen Litsis. I am at 4582 South Ulster Street, in based out of Denver, Colorado. And I'm with
Kim. Oh, okay. You're with Kim Lee Horn?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Mr. Litsis, do you swear from to tell the truth?
I do.
All right. And then Ms. Zahn, is she going to speak? Okay.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and swear you in.
Sure.
Okay. And you can, if you have the same address and company, that's fine. Just introduce yourself.
Yep. So my name is Juliana Zahn. I'm with McRitchie Incorporated. We're based out of Calgary, Alberta.
Oh.
And I represent the developer on this project.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Zahn, do you swear from to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. And where are you coming from this morning?
Calgary, Alberta.
Wow. Okay. And we've made you wait all morning, haven't we? Okay.
No,
thank you.
No, that's all right. Not a problem.
you all can give us feedback on our process, but I'm sure a little bit of what I'll hear might sting. So, okay. Would one of you like to go ahead and introduce the application request?
Yes, ma'am, I can do that. This is Stephen Litsis with Kim Lee Horn. As you can see on the plans here, we're looking at putting RV storage on the project here. It is covered RV storage as shown on the site plan developed in one phase. It's currently two lots. It'll be converted into one at some point, and it's about 430 stalls total on the project here. We have a infiltration detention pond in the corner of the site, as well as what I know we'll talk about today is we are offering to the city to reroute and reconfigure Volcano Road to be more appropriate for the current design standards that the city has for roadway design.
Okay, thank you. Anything you want to add, Ms. Zahn?
Yeah, I'll just say high level, what we're proposing here is a premium RV storage facility. It will include premium amenities, such as Stephen mentioned, covered storage, dump and wash stations, gated entry. And overall, it's a secured lot with a 650 square foot office building. The office building will be intended to be for temporary use during the lease up when customer engagement is intense. Once the facility is leased up, it's a very low intensity use, and therefore it can kind of become more automated since everyone has their individual access code. Essentially an on-site manager isn't necessary, and we intend to transition to having someone who can conduct on-site visits only when needed. Stephen also mentioned there's a total of 432 parking stalls over 7 canopies. And overall, we've identified the market to be undersupplied in this area. So we believe this to be a good solution for the issue of having RVs hanging out on local residential neighborhoods and kind of increasing the overall aesthetic of the residential areas. And also the proposed use is low traffic generating with minimal overflow into surrounding areas in terms of lighting and noise, et cetera. So that would be high level what I'd add.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Zahn. And what will happen with the office building? Is that like a temporary building? What is your intent?
Yep, so essentially It's a temporary trailer that will be located on site. Typically within the first 12 to 24 months, the facility will be completely leased up. And then at that point, everyone will have their own access codes to enter into the facility. So at that point, an on-site manager isn't necessarily needed full time.
Okay, understood. Thank you. All right. Let me go then to the public. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak on item 7 on Volcano Road? You can indicate now by raising your hand or speaking up. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. So let's go to DRB members for comments, starting with Water Authority.
Good morning, Mr. Litsis and Ms. Son. This is Blaine Carter with the Water Authority providing comments today. Off the bat, you have requested an availability statement. The statement number is listed in the comments, 210111. It is in review. Once it's executed and issued, that will state the requirements for connection to water and sewer service. Anticipated improvements are an extension of a public sewer main from Central down Volcano. That would be the point of connection for your project. We also require frontage improvements at the Water Authority within this area. So that would be something to anticipate as well. The water pipe in this location, the water main in this location is a 6-inch line, and we're anticipating having to upsize that line along the frontage. Again, that'll be stated in the availability statement when that's issued. It'll provide the set conditions for service. Other than that, there is a requirement for an infrastructure list because those will be public water, public sewer improvements. On utility plan, just a general request for some more clarity. Related to that, we're looking at what size meter is proposed, what size line behind the meter. If there's a private fire line that's required for the facility for your fire demand, we need to see that as a separate connection to the main and seeing that shown. And I think generally just updates in terms of any of the lines on there, just make sure we're on the same page with the sizing of the sewer service and you have a looped internal line shown, if you need that or not. Those are all things we just want to make sure we're on the same page and see those updated. So that concludes the comments for the Water Authority. If either of you have questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Hi, Blaine. This is Stephen Litsis with Kim Newhorn. Two questions, mostly in regards to the fire line, private fire line on site. There is the requirement for one hydrant located where as shown on the right in the middle between the two canopy rows there. We had looped that, and I guess you'll tell us the availability statement, but is your thought that does not need to be looped? That can just be a stubbed out connection there?
Good morning, this is Blaine with the Water Authority. From the authority's perspective, there's not a requirement to loop that.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you.
And as a follow-up to that question, that line would want to be a separate connection to the main and not metered. Is that my understanding?
Or is that one of the Water Authority? That's correct. Yes, we allow separate connections for private fire lines. There's a fee per month that's pretty low, but they're not metered. And the intent with that is to keep it separate from the meter. So if something happens with the meter, gets turned off, et cetera, you still have fire service. So it will be a separate connection. There's a fee for it per month, but it's not a metered connection. Thank you.
Great. No further questions.
Thank you. Let's go to code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. A conditional use is required to allow outdoor vehicle storage at this location.
Mr. Garcia, I think what you said is that a conditional use is required for outdoor vehicle storage.
Correct.
Okay. And do you have questions about the process for that?
I guess just one question. Juliana here from McCritchie. What's the typical timeline to get the CUP on your end?
Sorry, Stephen Litches from Kimley Horn. That has already been approved. That was done a few months ago. We just need to give you the advice there. Carl, so I'll get that to you.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, confusion on our side.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. So you've already received a conditional use permit from our zoning hearing examiner.
Yes, okay. Ma'am. I think December 30th is when it came in. I can get that to you.
Okay. Perfect. Great to be on top of things. Okay, let's go to Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation Department. There's no objection to the requested site plan. I am curious about, you have on your landscape plan a native seed mix. And I was wondering what that comprised of. We have a city spec and I wanted to see, I guess, if that compares.
Stephen Litzis from Kinley Horn. I'll talk to our landscape architect about that. I don't know the seed mix off the top of my head, but I will take it back and make sure we match the city spec. That is completely fine. We can do that.
Sure, I can. This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I can send that to you also.
Thank you.
And Mr. Litzis, this is Chair Wolfley, and it seemed like they had, for the pond, they showed a native seed mix on the edges and then some kind of detention seed in the middle. And we've been actually doing quite a bit of work of late to try to clarify the most promising route to actually get these ponds into a seed mix and into a germination state that it actually all works well. And so we'd love to collaborate with you and your landscape architect to make sure that we're getting something that will work here in Albuquerque.
Of course. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to hydrology.
Ernest Armyhill, hydrology. Hydrology will need to approve the grading and drainage plan prior to approval of plat or site plan. Infrastructure list may be required, though it sounds like you already need one based on water authority. Please note, hydrology will need an approved grading and drainage plan prior to building permit. Any of these conditions are met. 500 cubic yards of grading, 1,000 square foot of proposed building, or 10,000 square foot of proposed paving.
Do you have questions about, yes, for Mr. Armyhill about getting the grading and drainage plan done?
Yeah, Stephen Litzis, Kimley Horn. We submitted that back, I think, February 24th, and we have not received any comments yet. I just wanted to confirm it is hydrology still reviewing it and no comments were missed or it has not come back to us yet.
Ernest Armyhill, hydrology. I personally am not reviewing that. I would have to check and see if one of my engineers is reviewing that right now. Based on the wording, because she's the one who created this list here, by the wording, it sounds like it is in review.
Okay.
Because normally she would say, we require a grading and drainage plan, whereas this says we need to approve it. So it sounds like we have it.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that it wasn't a miss somewhere. So I think Renee was reviewing it, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And just because it's fun to talk about, do we have an access ramp for the basin, Mr. Armyhill?
We do not check it at this point. That gets checked at building permit plans.
Okay. Transportation.
Good morning. This is Jean Wiffenberger with Transportation. I would like to disclose that we had two or three meetings probably about a few months ago to discuss options on what to do with Volcano Road at this point, especially since it comes in at such an odd angle. And so with that, I'll begin with my comments. So at the time, there were two options given for this development on Volcano Road. One of them was to either request for vacation of right-of-way and a subsequent creation of dead-end cul-de-sac, or an extension of Volcano Road to the neighboring driveway in order to match up with the existing median cut in order not to interfere with DMD's central landscaping project. So that's going to need to be established. As was mentioned twice before, an infrastructure list needs to be created for such volcano road improvements based on the chosen option and provide a layout and exhibit for view prior to approval. This shall also include curb and sidewalk. Sidewalk width shall be chosen based on roadway classification. Provide a roadway cross section along with the submittal package. And other than that, I just had some super minor comments on the site plan just to make sure that, you know, we're meeting all the required construction details prior to construction. And so I just wanted some information on the parking calculations at the office, you know, updates on providing handicap signage, motorcycle parking signage, and a bike rack detail in accordance with the IDO requirements. And then just providing dimensioning for the parking spaces and parking aisle near the turnaround area. Include clear sight distance triangles at the access way, provide 6 foot ADA access from the office to the right of way and from the office to the handicap spaces. And then I just had some minor comments, which I believe you have regarding the you know, signage on the language for the signage required on the handicapped sign, as well as just stating no parking on the van accessible aisle. That's all I had.
Thank you. Stephen Litis with Kim Lee Horn. I thought this would be the most, the biggest discussion we have is the rerouting, the realignment of Volcano Road, based upon your comments, Ms. Wolfenberger. And we appreciate you talking to us about this a while ago. So there, the request that the city has provided for the road, we find to be unachievable in its current option. So we have the vacation request would be required to go through city council, and our land use attorney, who has looked into various case precedent, has advised that it is very likely that will be a very arduous process, but not only arduous, also very unlikely to go through due to the fact that the properties next door will likely submit objections to that vacation request. Due to the number of truck traffic that's going there, and they'll say they're adversely affected by that happening. So we did not pursue that route for that reason, and the cul-de-sac for that reason. And then the second reason where we have realigned is we don't have eminent domain authority. So we don't have the ability to forcibly acquire the property to the north. I remember at one point the city engineer was going to talk to the person about that. We, as the private developer, do not have the ability to force a right of dedication on an offsite property that is not ours. So the alignment we have provided is what we can give to the city within our constraints here. But we recognize that, you know, those two options, both of which are just routes that we do not find make this property developable. We want to work with the city on this, but those are the constraints we've evaluated from our side. In addition, I will note that the median cut we are talking about aligning with is currently substandard in New Mexico DOT policy. It's only 200 foot from the adjacent signal, which would not have significant length from the New West signal to be a full access intersection there. So we believe that at some point that median cut will go away. And so maybe this is a temporary solution, but at some point when we anticipate that New Mexico DOT would likely ask that median cut to be removed based upon their access standards. So that's how we ended up where we did. But it sounds like we're at an impasse with the DRB board if the only two comments are we have to either vacate the roadway or we have to acquire the land to the north in order to build this what the city would like. Is there any maybe comment from the DRB on that?
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. So the last time we spoke, and actually it was some months ago, I don't remember how far back, but you, at the time, you actually did opt to take the vacation option. So I didn't know really which direction you were going. And that's why, because you at the time, you had opted to take the vacation option, the city engineer did not approach the property owner to the north. These are actually the two scenarios that we are allowing you to, you know, to do either one or the other. And unfortunately, because of DMD's plan on the median cuts, we do need to have the current median cuts kept in place. So it sounds like, I mean, we could have further discussions outside of this meeting, but that was what we agreed upon originally, was to do one or the other. And if there's opposition to either one, we need to have more discussions outside of the meeting.
Okay, Stephen Lynch with Kim Lehorn. I can, maybe that's when you set up. The reason for the cul-de-sac that went away is because it was after that discussion, Gene, the city advised that it has to go through city council and it cannot be a DRB approved, which is a little bit different than what we had suggested. I think originally that was suggestion was that we submit a DRB, a vacation request to DRB for approval, and we would have been okay with that possibility. We became concerned when it had to go through city council, and that's where our land use attorney advised us that that was going to be an issue. That was an after follow-up.
This is Gene Wolfenberger with transportation. I think we did, you know, in our last meeting, we did discuss that a vacation action would have to go through city council. And that was the reason we were wanting to work with you time-wise on approval of the plan, as long as you were in the process of submitting for the vacation.
That doesn't absolve the fact that if we go through a city council process and it gets rejected, then I mean we're at the same point, right? I mean, if the vacation request, if I remember correctly, says it cannot adversely affect adjacent properties, and I have to pull out the code for that, but I remember that being part of the discussion there, is that it cannot adversely affect adjacent properties, and we did not think there's a clear case that showed that this does not adversely affect properties based upon what we see from the site.
Okay. Mr. Litsis, I'm going to ask our city engineer to comment here.
Hi, how are you? This is Shahapi as our city engineer. When we had this discussion was a while back, and it's unfortunate that you guys didn't even attempt to go through that process. I mean, we would have had an answer from city council by now. And at this point, it's kind of hard to say how we could move forward because we still feel like, you know, providing a cul-de-sac and vacating that portion, it would be a viable option. I mean, city council does look to city staff on their recommendation, and not so much, you know, I mean, they do listen to residents. But, you know, if there's a safety concern here, I mean, they obviously like to obviously look at that option rather than creating something that is unsafe. And this, you know, the way this entrance is being presented, it's going to be an unsafe situation. And I don't know if we could move forward by the way the entrance is presented right now.
So, I don't know if Ms. Gold can comment here, but we have a lot of vacation requests that go through our city council. Very commonly, they're on the consent agenda with the city council. And I think they would only get pulled if there was some opposition and then the city council wanted to hear what the opposition was about. And then, as Mr. Biazar noted, you know, they would look at the technical review that's been done here at the DRB in order to, you know, deliberate and consider their decision. But we have a lot of vacations that go through city council all year long, and most of them go through on the consent agenda. Ms. Gould, do you have anything to add to that?
This is Maggie Gould, Madam Chair. Again, I think the concerns about, you know, opposition are valid. Most of the vacations that we've had recently have gone through city council. I mean, we did have one that was kind of controversial that took quite a while to get through. I mean, I don't think there's really a way to say one way or the other, yes, this would be easy. But I think what Mr. Biazar said about if you went through the process and you know, you got an answer, then you would know. So, and I see that Mr. Biazar has his hand up again, or maybe it didn't come down from before. No, okay, he doesn't have his hand up. Yeah, I mean, I think what you and Shahab said about this is absolutely right, that we have no way of knowing what city council would do, but generally when there are concerns about health and safety, you know, those are important, and there's some deference to the engineering specs. But again, we have, you know, there's not a crystal ball.
Okay, Stephen, this is Stephen Horn. I understand what you're saying. I'm the case that we pulled as precedent was, for record, was Tony Sanchez Drive Southeast Vacation, where it was denied. Yeah. And it took a very long time to go through the process. We were, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but that was the advice we got, is that it could be seem very similarly to that, and it could be hard to prove a case here where it is clearly more beneficial to public welfare by removing this connection that a lot of traffic, especially adjacent properties, are using. So, you know, I think our proposal does make it safer than what it is now, than what you have at least in currently. But
okay, Mr. Yeah. I'm going to turn to Mr. Biazar once again, our city engineer.
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar again. So, I mean, I would advise you to approach the property owner to the north or to the east and see what they say. I mean, if they're willing to work with you, I mean, there's always that option. I mean, I would urge you to do that. I mean, if you feel like you don't want to go through the vacation action, and that would be definitely an option. I understand. I mean, you feel like, you know, you, by doing this, it might be a safer situation, but unfortunately, based on my experience, once you touch it and something happens, then, you know, I know you have a land use attorney, but, you know, I've dealt with other attorneys when it comes to transportation and other stuff. And believe me, they rip us apart by allowing this scenario, just based on my experience. So I just don't feel like, you know, we'll be doing any favor to you guys or city by allowing this type of configuration. I mean, just not because a few lawyers will be involved, it just won't be safe.
I understand. I just making sure that you're not, sorry, Steven, it's just Kimberly Horn, just making sure you're not putting an undue burden on the developer here. I mean, this is a road that is built by, I think, probably the county years ago, but it's a city-owned road, and it sounds like what's being requested by the city is for the developer to go out and fix the problems the cities have created. This road is not, these issues are not a result of this development by any means, and developers offering to provide right away and to reconfigure the road. And I feel like the city is just continuing to ask for more and more, which may be beyond the scope of what this development really requires. And in particular, I mean, this element having to be required to obtain property from a different property owner to the north, adjacent, feels beyond the scope of what a DRB approval should be asking for. But I understand DRB is saying.
If I may reiterate, I mean that's up to you guys. I was just saying that's an option. I mean, if you know, you don't have to go that route, but we definitely feel like the way the entrance is shown is it's not safe. And our other option would be to basically, you know, close the road and, you know, basically create a turnaround and not have access via Central.
Okay.
Planning comments.
So this is Maggie Gould. So, we had mentioned that a sensitive lands analysis was required because the property has never been graded. I will recheck the file, but I don't believe we received that. And then also the notice of decision from the zoning hearing examiner, which we just discussed. and then confirming requirements with code enforcement, clarifying that the RV spaces aren't carports, therefore the justification that's required for carports is not required for the covered spaces. Clarifying those wall details so we know height of materials, and then it sounds like we're still in discussion as to how the access is going to eventually play out, but if right-of-way is dedicated, a replat of the property will be required. And then ponding is allowed in the setback area, and the site is it within the West Route 66 Activity Center, which for the use that you're developing is not, I don't think is significant, but it is something to be aware of.
Ms. Gould, don't they need to also combine these parcels in the planning process?
Yeah, well, yes, in order to develop, and I think that was, I don't remember whether that was addressed by code enforcement or not, but yes, the building can't go across that lot line.
Or can any parking spaces, correct?
The parking spaces, and this is, I will defer to Mr. Garcia on this, but the cleanest thing to do would be to combine it into two parcels. If it isn't combined into two parcels, then everything has to be, each parcel has to function independently. And yes, none of the parking spaces can be bisected by that lot line.
This is Stephen Litzis from Kinley Horn. I can speak to that. We are aware a plat's going to be required.
Okay.
The reason a plat has not been submitted right now, and we talked to Mr. Rosenbeck about it, there are about 20 interested parties across the two parcels here, and it was going to be a very cumbersome plat to get through. The investor, the developer of the site wants to get to a point where all the site plan approval comments can be resolved. And if they can get to that point, then they would be comfortable closing on the properties and purchasing them, at which point they will have the sole ownership and will go through for a plat. So we fully expected to do a plat and are completely comfortable with you just keeping that as an outstanding comment. We're going to work through the DRB process to resolve the remainder of the comments. And then when we get to that point and they can close the property, they will come back forward with a plat. And we'll Great. Do both the plat Thank and the you. Site plan at the same time.
Okay. Do you or Ms. Son have any further questions?
At this time, I do not. This is Juliana from McRitchie.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Son.
This is Stephen Melitzis. I have one further question I wanted to check on. I don't remember where I saw this at, but I thought I read something about, is there a requirement for electric vehicle spaces, or is that something I missed? And I forget who made that, if I've seen that comment somewhere.
This is Maggie Gould. This was an item that we wanted to clarify with code enforcement. So whether or not your parking area for outdoor storage actually counts as a parking lot and is subject to the same requirements that parking lots have in terms of trees and provide the provision of electrical vehicle spaces. And I think that's that might be an ongoing discussion. So we will get that clarified for you.
Okay. Stephen Litzis, Kinley Horn. Our thought would be that it would fall under storage, similar to self-storage units. Obviously they're open-ended, but that's how we would approach the code and how we would offer as a code solution there, which is to say we do have three or four parking spaces associated with the facility, but not 482 is how I view it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. So we'll work on getting that particular question answered. So it looks like most likely you need to do some thinking with regard to the transportation component of this in particular. I think my recommendation would be for you to defer with plenty of time to sort through that with your development team and then any further discussions you might want to have with our traffic engineer. So it seems like maybe a few weeks at least out before we would want to do this again. And it also is possible that should you proceed forward, we need to kind of get the platting action done prior to the site plan action. And they can be done concurrently on the same agenda. Similarly, if you do a vacation, if you choose to go forward with a vacation, then we might want to get that done, that submittal done in as soon as possible, and then get that moving toward City Council. So just to kind of give you some ideas of process-wise of things you might want to consider.
Understood. Thank you.
So I usually go ahead and ask the agent if they have a date in mind for a deferral.
This is Stephen Litz with Kimmy Horn. To be honest, I do not obviously want to push it forward as quick as possible, but I recognize this issue with the cul-de-sac, and I need to speak with our internal team about how we want to handle that. So I unfortunately don't have a date at this moment now. I can follow up with Maggie or Jay on that as required.
Right. And yeah, with our rules of procedure, we have to actually defer you to a certain date, but then we can keep moving it. Should we go out 4 weeks, perhaps?
How about
to April 28th or?
How about the 21st for now? And we'll see what we can pull off.
Okay.
And then we can continue.
Aim for the 21st and then keep in touch with us. And as you've seen on this agenda today, people have deferred without having to appear because they knew they weren't ready. There's $100 and something deferral fee, but for now we can consider April 21st. Is that what you'd like?
Is that okay, Juliana? Sorry. Or would you like to go to the 28th and save $100?
No. No, Juliana here. That's that works with me, Stephen.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let me now ask the DRB, is there a motion to defer item number 7 to April 21st?
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I move to defer item number 7 to the April 21st meeting.
Thank you.
Water Authority, I second.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Gerald Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve. Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 7, PR 2020-4757, SI 2021-307, site plan to the April 21st meeting of the DRB. All right, and thank you. We appreciate working with you. We're sure it's difficult, like working with a different city and their different procedures, but we'll try to help you as much as we can. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.